We are, at the present time, in a great spiritual battle. It's not new. It's been going on ever since the fall. But I have a sense that it is intensifying. We are not battling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. We are battling an enemy that's more dangerous than ISIS or Al-Qaeda. We are battling an enemy that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your spiritual life. He wants to destroy your walk with the Lord, your testimony for Jesus, your marriage, your family, your kids, your physical life. So this morning, I'm issuing a call to prayer. By the way, he's also out to destroy the church. The church is under attack today. He's out to destroy the church. E.M. Bounds, in his famous work on prayer, wrote, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, nor new organizations, nor more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men." Men of prayer. Amen. And put in there, men and women of prayer. Martin Luther, the man that God used to ignite the Reformation, said, "Prayer is the most important thing in my life. If I should neglect prayer for a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith." Daily prayer. The author of the classic book, The Kneeling Christian, wrote these words, "Do I really believe that prayer is power? Is prayer the greatest power on earth, or is it not? Does prayer indeed move the hand that moves the world? Do we realize that there is nothing the devil dreads so much as prayer? His concern, listen, his concern is to keep us from praying. He loves to see us up to our eyes in work, provided we do not pray. He does not fear because we are eager and earnest Bible students, provided we are little in prayer. Someone has wisely said, Satan laughs at our toiling, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." Amen. All this is familiar to us. But do we really pray? If not, then failure must dog our footsteps, whatever signs of apparent success there may be. Let us never forget that the greatest thing we can do for God or for man is to pray. Amen. For we can accomplish far more by our prayers than by our work. What a quote! What a truth. Satan does not want us to pray because prayer is God's divine plan for releasing divine power. Amen. So this morning, I'm issuing a call for our church to pray. And when I say that, I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, 6 sermons on prayer. I want you to know something. I'm going to be very honest. I'm not preaching at you. Because if there's one pointing back at you, there's 3 pointing back at this pastor. I'm preaching to myself. and sharing with you. It's a call to prayer. And this morning, we're going to look at three different kinds of prayer that God is calling each of us to. And every one of these types of prayer begin with the letter C. Therefore, the sermon title, Sailing the High Seas of Prayer. Three different types of prayer that God is calling us to as Christians. Now, take your Bibles, if you would, and open them up to Matthew chapter 6. And we want to look at God's call here. God is calling us to closet prayer. Closet prayer. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. This is part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's important to note that in this sermon, Jesus spoke a lot about prayer and the priority of prayer. He didn't teach his disciples how to preach, but he did teach his disciples how to pray. How to pray. He tells them, don't pray. In verse 5, he says, don't pray like the religious hypocrites, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees liked to pray, and they would find themselves at the time of prayer on the steps of the temple, out in public. And they would raise their hands and they would pray. I'm sure they used like King James English, you know. And really, man, they prayed some great prayers, sounding prayers, because they were out to impress men. But you know what? God wasn't impressed. He said, don't pray like them. Don't pray like them. We're going to take a look at that a little bit more next week. But he said, don't pray like them. Verse 6, he says, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you or reward you. And this is what is called closet prayer. Closet prayer. I want you to note three things about this. First of all, note Jesus says, when you pray. Not if you pray. When you pray. Folks, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to a life of prayer. Every one of us. We're called to a life of prayer. Scripture calls us to pray. Jesus calls us to pray. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said, men should ought always to pray and not faint. Always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. Says that same thing over in Colossians 4:2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Jesus says, when you pray. That assumes, folks, that we pray. We are called to a life of prayer. A life of prayer. And then he speaks of closet prayer. Now, what is this and how do we do it? Closet prayer is having a prayer time where you get alone with God and talk with him and listen to him and praise him and thank him and confess to him and request of him and share your life with him and share your love with him and share your joy with him. Amen. It's getting alone with God. And folks, there's no substitute for that in the Christian life. No substitute for this kind of prayer. We need to get alone with God. And to pull this off, we really need to set a specific time to meet with the Lord. If you say something like this, or if I say, well, today, when I get time, I'm going to pray. What's going to happen? You won't pray. I'm telling you, from personal experience. Well, when I get time today, I'll pray. When I get to church, I'll pray. And then I get to church, and what happens? Phone rings. I mean, even if I get here real early, the phone rings. Or someone walks in. It needs to be a time, this closet prayer. We need to set an appointment with God. I've heard several of you told me that you have appointments during the day with God. In the morning, some at noon, and then in the evening, kind of like Daniel. I think Pastor Mike has that kind of appointment set up with the Lord. We need to set a time to pray. And we need to take time and make time to meet with the Father. Then I think it helps to have a place to meet, a closet. Now that doesn't have to be a literal closet, although there have been saints in the past that had a closet where they went into the closet, shut the door, and they were shut out from men and shut up with God. But there needs it helps to have a place where you can get alone with God. A place to block out the world. Shut up with God. How many of you saw the movie War Room? Okay, a number of you. Jacob, do we have a picture of that? Oh, I don't know if you can see that. But do you remember in the picture, the lady? There was a couple having problems, and a lady met with her, and she said, well, let me show you. And she had a war room, place where you could go in, and prayer requests on the walls. Go in and get alone with God. Close the door. Shut out from the world. Shut up with God. I'll tell you, it helps to have a place. Could be a study, could be your bedroom, could be some place where you're just by yourself with the Lord. It's called closet prayer. And then, there's getting alone with God, getting an appointment, and when you get into your closet, you know what you need to do? Pray. What? Do you see what he says here? It's interesting. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray. You know what happens to me sometimes? I set it, I get in there, I sit down, and my to-do list comes to my mind. Oh, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And instead of praying, I start planning. Or something will come to my mind. I'll tell you, Satan will try to distract me and do everything he can to keep me from praying. And then the time's up and I say, oh man, I didn't even pray. Lord, just answer all my prayers. Just ask God, Holy Spirit, I know my mind. I'll tell you, this is hard in the 21st century because we have so many distractions, don't we? I mean, everything's trying to distract. We've got to ask Holy Spirit to shut out the world. Help me to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Help me help me to pray. And then pray. This is closet prayer. I want you to note a third thing, that this prayer is based on a relationship with God, and there are promised results. You can't pray to God, listen to me, unless you have a relationship with Him. Truly only Christians can go to God and say, our Father. Amen. Talk about that next week again. I don't want to get into that too much, but if you're here, you've never accepted Christ, you need to accept the Lord. Because then you can be assured when you pray that God will hear your prayers. God will hear your prayers. And if we know God hears our prayers, there is expected results. He says, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Amen.
He'll answer prayers.
Yes.
He really will. So many times in Scripture, and I think I struggle sometime with this, do I really believe when I pray that God's going to answer? What does it say? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I'll answer you. What is it? Matthew 21:22. If you pray anything believing, you will receive. Do we really believe? Do we really believe that? 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence which we have in him, that if we pray anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. And we know if he hears us, we know that we have what we requested of him. I'll tell you what, I've got to learn this more. And God's teaching me this, I think, I hope and pray, to really believe him in prayer. And it's not my prayer. It's not the prayer that makes it happen. But it's faith in God. We're going to talk about that later on too. Faith in God. God says, listen, you get alone with me. You pour out your heart with me. You bring your request to me. And I'll tell you what, in secret, and I'll reward you openly.
Amen.
There's going to be some results here of this prayer. Closet prayer, folks, speaks, I believe, of the priority of prayer. There's no substitute for it. We need to do this. We need to do priority in prayer. Andrew Murray said, dwell much in the inner chamber with the door shut, shut in from men, shut up with God. It is there that the Father awaits you. Awaits you. It is there that Jesus will teach you to pray. To be alone in secret with the Father, this will be your highest joy. Wow. Closet prayer. This morning I'm calling us to closet prayer. God's calling us to closet prayer. So I want to ask you to do something. Here's application. Will you get alone every day with God this week for at least 15 minutes a day? Now, I don't know, maybe you're already alone with God more than that. Praise God. Add 15 minutes too. But let's try this. Let's do it. I mean, we know it, but do we do it? 15 minutes. Get up 15 minutes early. Throw water on your face, get a cup of coffee, get awake, get down on your knees, get alone, and just love on God. Closet prayer. Now the second C, calling us to closet prayer, but I want to call us today to corporate prayer. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And we want to take a look here at corporate prayer. Now in Acts chapter 12, the scene is the first century church, early days of the first century church, and persecution is taking place. Look at verse 1 through 3. It says, now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So we have persecution going on there. James, John's brother, he was killed with a sword. Herod sees, man, hey, the Jews like this. Let's arrest Peter. So he puts Peter in jail. And Peter is in jail awaiting his execution. But look what verse 5 says. Look at verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison. What are the next two words? But prayer. I love that. Peter's in prison. But prayer. But prayer. For him was being made fervently. Or the King James Version says, without ceasing, by the church to God. Folks, that is corporate prayer. They called a prayer meeting. Somebody got on the phone and said, hey, Peter's been arrested. You know, let's get together as a church. They, you know what? They got together. And they said, this is desperate times. And when there's desperate times, we got to use desperate means to meet desperate times. We got to pray. And so they got together to pray. Look, I'm going to read verses 6 down through verse 17. Look what happened. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Wow. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, oh, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were what? Praying. They're praying. When he knocked at the gate, servant girl Rhoda came, answered. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. I love that. I mean, it's just so real. You know, I know the Bible's real because that's what people do. The little girl hears, it's Peter. And she just doesn't open up. She runs and tells them. And look what she says. It says, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to you, you're out of your mind. We're praying here tonight because Peter's in prison. We're praying that God gets him out of there. It must be his angel. That's what they say. But Peter's out there. Let me in. Let me in. And finally, they go, and when they open the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, report these things to James and the brethren. And then he left and went to another place. You know, aren't they like us? We pray. Do we really think God's going to do something? But God did. And I'll tell you, folks, if closet prayer speaks to the priority of prayer, this prayer, corporate prayer, speaks to the power of prayer. There is power in corporate prayer. When Christians get together, and God's work can be done on earth. When Christians get together, needy people can be brought into the resources flowing from heaven. It says, wherever, if any two of you on earth agree as touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. That's corporate prayer. Just takes two. Matthew 7. I want to take a look at this, Lord willing, 2 weeks. Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, all of the pronouns there are plural. You ask. You seek. You knock in prayer. And you'll receive, you'll find, it'll be opened. The power of corporate prayer. What happened when they prayed? Angels were sent on assignment to rescue endangered Christian. A bound man's chains were loosed and fell off. A prisoner was set free. Iron gates were opened. A Christian was guided through a dark city. A brother was restored to fellowship with the Lord's people. Amen. Now, so we have to ask some questions. Do we want to see endangered Christians rescued? Do we want to see people in bondage to sin set free and delivered? Do we want to see prisoners released and souls saved? Do we want to see iron doors that stand in our way or in the way of other Christians fall open? Do we want to see people restored to fellowship? Do we want to be surprised by God's answers to prayer? Do we want these things? I know we do. I know we do. Then we need to gather together in corporate prayer. Amen. And this is a challenge, I know, but it's a challenge to be with us on Wednesday nights. And listen, some people have told me I'm afraid to pray out loud, Pastor. There are many people in our prayer meeting that don't pray out loud. They're praying in their heart as others pray. And I am thankful. I'll tell you, I am very thankful that 30 people this last Wednesday night showed up for prayer. I'm thankful for that. Especially in a day when people say the prayer meeting's a dinosaur. You don't have prayer meetings in churches anymore because people don't come. Well, we're going to have prayer meetings. Amen. I'm thankful that 30 people. But wouldn't it be wonderful if there were 60, or if this whole sanctuary was filled with people crying out to God, what, folks, would happen? What would happen? And I know somebody, you know, says, you know, on corporate prayer, you know, I don't know. I'll tell you what, this is a call to corporate prayer. Does God really answer like he did back in Acts? Yes. Let me read you a story. I received a newsletter from the district superintendent of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church with this story. He wrote, a medical missionary reported this story at his home church in Michigan. While I was serving in a small field hospital in Africa, I traveled every 2 weeks by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This required camping overnight halfway. On one of these trips, I saw two men fighting in the city. One was seriously injured, so I treated him and witnessed to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then returned home without incident. Upon arriving in the city several weeks later, I was approached by the man that I had treated earlier, and he told me that he had known that I carried money and medicine. He stated, Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing that you would camp overnight. We waited for you to go to sleep and planned to kill you and take your money and drugs. Just as we were about to move into the campsite, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. 26 armed guards. 26 armed guards. I laughed at this and I said I was certainly alone in the jungle campsite. The young men pressed the point. No, sir, I was not the only one to see the guards. My five friends also saw them and we all counted them. 26 armed guards. It was because of these guards that we were afraid and left you alone. At that point in the church in Michigan, a man in the church jumped up and interrupted the missionary. He asked, "Can you tell me the exact date that that happened?" The missionary thought for a while and recalled the date, and the man in the congregation told this side of the story. "On that night in Africa, it was morning here. I was preparing to go play golf. As I put my bag into the car, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so strong that I called the men of the church together to pray for you. Will all the men who met with me that day please stand?" The men who had met with that day to pray together stood. There were 26 of them. You say, "Oh, that's a story. Does God answer corporate prayer?" Let me tell you another story that happened here in our church not long ago. In fact, it's still going on right now. But there was a grandfather and a grandmother in our church that had a grandson who was in trouble. He was in drugs, heavy in drugs. Heavy in drugs. He was in trouble with the law. He was in bad relationships. And that man brought that young man, his grandson, to the Lord in prayer. And we prayed in corporate prayer. And that man is on my wife and my, we have a list of well over now 130 prodigals that we pray for. And we prayed for him. And the young man went to jail. Went to jail. But in jail, someone shared with him the gospel and he received Christ. Amen. He received Christ. He started to read through the Bible. I don't know. If I don't get this right, I can be corrected, but I think in the first 3 months he read through the Bible two or three times. Now I know you have a lot of time in jail, but he read through the Bible. And God changed his life. And I sat with that grandfather and that young man several weeks ago in my office. And I'll tell you, his countenance, he's just a changed man. A changed young man. We prayed. God heard. But that's not the end of the story. Not only did he get saved, but his mother, who for years wanted nothing to do with God, she saw the change in her son and she got saved. I'm going to tell you, does God answer prayer? Corporate prayer? I'm going to tell you, when Christians meet together in corporate prayer, angels are dispatched. Endangered Christians are rescued. Bound people are set free. Prisoners are released. Iron doors that impede our progress fling open. Fellowship is restored. Families are brought back together. Marriages are renewed. Kids, prodigals, come home. Kids gone wild are brought under conviction. Corporate prayer. So this is a call. Will you commit yourself to corporate prayer? Getting together with Christians to pray. Invite you out Wednesday night. I would love to see this whole sanctuary filled. We'll have a group back in the back, a group up here, a group up here, and a group in the back. And we'll just cry out to God in corporate prayer. Now, again, you say, well, you know what, Pastor, numbers aren't important. And I know that, they're not. But I agree with J. Sidlow Baxter when he wrote, I agree that the power of prayer meeting is not determined by the number of heads, but in these age-end days when the powers of evil are besieging Christendom with anti-Christian philosophies on a scale and with an intensity unprecedented, there's a need to match it with a vast volume of united prayer. So this is a call to prayer. It's a call to closet prayer. Get alone with God. This is a call to corporate prayer. Get with Christians. And it can be on Wednesday night. You say, I can't make it Wednesday night, Pastor. I have commitment here or whatever. Then get together with some Christians and pray. This is a call to corporate prayer. Thirdly and lastly, call to closet prayer, call to corporate prayer. This is a call to continual prayer. And if you want to open up to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but I think you all know the phrase, pray without ceasing. Continual prayer. And now this doesn't mean, listen, watch. This doesn't mean you go around like this. Because that is impractical, impossible, and if you're driving, it's dangerous. That's not what he's talking about. But it means we should be in a continual attitude of prayer, instant in prayer. We should always throughout the day be carrying on a conversation with the Lord. It doesn't mean that you have to come and kneel at the altar when you're at work. I remember when I used to work out in the workaday world, I always prayed. Man, I got to meet with my boss, Lord. Give me the words. Help me. You know, or I need to design this design and I don't have a clue where to start. Help me, Lord. You know what? He answered my prayers. Lord? Or you're home with your kids. They'll drive you to prayer. Right? They'll drive you to prayer. You know? Lord, help me to get through the day. You know? But wherever we are, pray. The Old Testament, this is something because you all know this, but in the Old Testament, they didn't have our privilege. Only one man, the high priest, on one day of the year. What was that day? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The high priest could go behind the veil into the immediate presence of God in the Holy of Holies. He was the only one. But we have a privilege through the finished work of Christ to go to the Holy of Holies anytime, to fellowship with God at any time. God is there and we can go right into His presence. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might be able to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a privilege. What a privilege we have. And when we call on God, I am so glad for this. I thought about this. When we call on the Lord throughout the day, aren't you glad He doesn't have an answering machine? And I thought, if He had an answering machine, it might go, hello, you have reached heaven. God is not in right now, but he'll be happy to get back with you as soon as possible. Just leave your name and number and a short message. Thank you, and God bless you. Boy, am I glad he doesn't have an answering machine. Or no, we never get put on hold. Don't you hate that? Or you call and, well, if you're calling for this reason, push number one. If you're calling for this reason, push number two. If you're calling for this reason, push, I hate that. Don't you hate, I hate that. I really hate that. But you never get that with God. You never, thank you, God. He never puts me on hold. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Some people think I'm kind of getting old and senile. If you see me driving in a car and you see my mouth going like this, which most of the time it is going like this, it's one of four things. Either I'm talking to myself, and I do that on occasion, or I am singing. I have my CDs on and I'm singing. Or I'm talking with God, because I do a lot of talking with God when I'm driving. Or if you really see me intense and kind of like this, I'm preaching next week's sermon. But I'll tell you, you could talk to God anytime. When you're driving, don't shut your eyes. I don't shut my eyes. But continual fellowship and communion with God. That's what a Christian is. It's a relationship. What a privilege this is. If closet prayer is priority in prayer, if corporate prayer is power in prayer, then I'll tell you what, continual prayer is the privilege of prayer. The privilege. And so are you carrying on a continual dialogue with God? If you're not, you're missing out. You're missing out. That is such a privilege to be able to commune and talk with God. And if you're not, start talking to Him, with Him. Talk. Just, you know, men ought always to trust in God. Pour out your heart before God, the psalmist says. Talk to God in continual prayer. This is a call to closet prayer. Will you spend time in your closet this week? 15 minutes. That's not, everybody can do that. Corporate prayer. Man, you want to bless my heart? Fill this church Wednesday night. I'll tell you what, I might die. That you might get really blessed. I might be gone. But wouldn't it be wonderful? And if we just got here and cried out to God, and then just talk to Him. You don't have to use King James English. You can if you want, but you don't have to. Just talk to Him. A call to continual prayer. Moses prayed, his prayer did save a nation from death and the grave. Joshua prayed, the sun stood still, his enemies fell in hill and vale. Hannah prayed, God gave her a son, a nation back to God he won. Solomon prayed for wisdom then, God made him the wisest of mortal men. Elijah prayed with great desire, God gave him rain and sent the fire. Jonah prayed, God heard his wail. He quickly delivered him from the whale. Three Hebrews prayed, through flames they trod. They had as their comrade the Son of God. Elijah prayed with strong emotion. He got the mantle and a double portion. Daniel prayed, the lion's claws were held by the angel that locked their jaws. 10 lepers prayed, to the priests were sent. Glory to God, they were healed as they went. Peter prayed, and Dorcas arose to life from death's repose. The thief who prayed for mercy cried, he went with Christ to paradise. The church, she prayed, then got a shock when Peter answered her prayer with a knock. The disciples prayed, kept praying. The Spirit came with cloven tongue and revival flame. Conviction filled the hearts of men. 3,000 souls were born again. When Christians pray, as they prayed of yore, with living faith for souls implore, in one accord, united stand, revival fires will fall again. And sinners shall converted be, and all the world God's glory see. Let's pray. Lord, we're asking you during our 40 days of prayer here in our church, over this sermon series, Lord, that I just pray you'd give me your words. We're going to ask you, dare to ask you, Lord, because you said ask. Lord, teach us to pray. Make this church a house of prayer. Lord, we don't want to see what men can do. Lord, we want to see what God can do. And we want to glorify and honor you, Lord, in this highest work that you call us to is prayer. Our greatest weapon against the enemy who's out to kill, steal, and destroy is the weapon of all prayer. So help us, Lord. Help us this week. I pray for myself. I pray for this people. Help us to set appointments with you and to keep the appointment and to pray. Help us, Lord. Encourage some people to come out, some more people. I thank you for the people we have, Lord. But I pray that you would send more out, Lord. These are desperate days. They call for desperate response in prayer. So, Lord, increase our numbers and help us to pray with Christians. If we can't get there Wednesday night, to get together with other Christians and call on your name. And then, Lord, help us to, wherever we go, be instant in prayer. Help us to pray without ceasing. Lord, teach us to pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.